5.
Those passages are first at Mark chapter 12. Mark 12. At about verse 41. And the second place in the New Testament you might locate as well is at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Those two places in the New Testament. I like to read them. They serve as a backdrop for our look into the Old Testament passage in the book of Exodus. First one we read at Mark 12, verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want or her poverty did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Then we come over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I'd like to read beginning at verse number 8, 2 Corinthians 8:8, the apostle here says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, I read the neon sign flashing, cooperation, 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 a willingness. There was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Now with those two passages embedded in your memory, come back to Exodus 35. For many, 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 many years, God had not permitted his creatures close contact with him. No fellowship. And now a new thing was about to happen. God desired to meet with his people at a regular place under his own terms. And he would have Moses build a tabernacle. Okay? Now just so that we can make clear the nuance here. The tabernacle in the Old Testament would be made like unto a tent, an enclosed tent, an encampment. The New Testament tabernacle is you, the child of God. And there is a building process going on in you, just like there will be or was a building process going on here in Exodus 35. There are several points of interest in Exodus 35 and part of the 36th chapter that I think play out into application truth to the ongoing building process that is part of our life. Let me begin at verse 1. Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together. That's the first thing I will note. You will find several times in Exodus 35 where he got the whole congregation together. All of them. All of them together. And he said unto them, these are the words which the Lord hath commanded that ye should do them. These are the words. So it's not Moses' idea. This is, Moses is not the architect here. He's not the designer. He's not even the one that's forcing the issue. And he begins by saying, 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day, there shall be to you a holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. Now keep in mind the context. It had been centuries since God would permit his creatures to have close access to him. Now, he wants to institute that again, and so he begins by stipulating and going back now to creation, because it was in that same time frame where God determined that he would break close fellowship with his creature in the garden. So from, you say, might say from the garden to here in the book of Exodus, God had not actually had the occasion for fellowship, close ordered fellowship with his people. Okay, now that's about to change. And so he lays down the stipulation concerning the Sabbath day. And just so to underscore that, verse number 3 says that you shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. So much for Sabbath day dinners. Now the instructions are earlier in the book of Exodus, where they were given instructions that on the day prior to Sabbath, they were to prepare enough for the next day so that there would not be any need for anybody to light a fire, to cook anything or bake anything in their house. Now you recall that back when those stipulations were given earlier in the book of Exodus, some of them disobeyed that. And basically it was demonstrated in the lives of those who disobeyed that, a profound lack of faith in what God had said, insinuating that God was not able to provide, or they didn't think he would. And so they did what was right in their own eyes. So you have now in verse 4, a second occurrence. Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, a second time now. And he says, this is the thing. Just like he says up there in verse 1, these are the words. Now he says, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Now if that's all there was in the verse, giving, as we understand it to be by New Testament standard, would not be a charitable thing. It would not be a willing thing. It would be a compulsory thing. And so we find in the rest of the verse, whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass and blue, purple, scarlet, fine linen and goat's hair, ram skin, dyed red, badger skins and chitim wood, and oil for the light and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. Those things. So basically he is saying that what is necessary according to verse 5, that there needs to be a willing heart for the people to offer what they possessed, a thing, inanimate objects, whatever they possessed with a willing heart. And it's very important that we understand that God desires a willing heart. Now go back and keep plugged in to Mark 12 and to 2 Corinthians 8. That widow came and she threw in everything she had, even all her living, not because she was, it was mandatory or obligatory to her. It was done of a willing heart. And if you back up further than that, the pure example in all of this is that God gave the very best of heaven and he gave his only son with a willing heart. And so giving by its nature, if it tracks back to the original giver, is always done in a spirit of cooperation, a voluntary, cheerful willingness. And no less here, they were to offer what they possessed. Then we continue, verse 10. Every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded. And here's what he says. The tabernacle, his tent, his covering, his tax, his boards, his bars, his pillars, his sockets, and then the ark, the table, the candlestick, the incense altar, the altar of burnt offering, the hangings of the court, the pins of the tabernacle, the cloths of service, all those things with the little accoutrements attached to them. Please notice, however, in verse 10, it shifts from an offering of what people have to an offering of what people can do, what they were proficient in, which we look at verse 10. It says, every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded. So in the first phase there, the offering to be presented to the Lord was that of possessions on the part of the people, but whoever was a willing heart. And those who had the ability then, in the same spirit of willing cooperation, were to come, aid in the building by doing what they were proficient at doing and constructing these items that are listed here according to the Lord's own specifications. They were not at any time permitted any flexibility or leeway to design after their own imagination. It had to be according to what God wanted. Everything in the run-up to the building, to the tent, to the quality and the type of materials that would go into it, to the furniture that would be installed in it, all of that was designed precisely by the Lord, and it was only to be put together or made by those who are said here to be wise-hearted. There's further enhancement on that. But then we come down to verse 20. It says, there all the congregation, the children of Israel, departed from the presence of Moses. They got their instructions. And so what are they doing? Well, those who have are going back to get what they're going to present. And those who can do are going to go and prepare. I would imagine they're going to get further instruction on exactly how this stuff is got to come together. And so it says there, they departed from the presence of Moses. And verse 21 says, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as what? Willing-hearted. Over and over in chapter 35, again, you find this emphasis of willing-heartedness on the part of the men and the women who were going to cooperate together and obey God's word in the building of the tabernacle. Now, the same truths that we find in seed form in Exodus 35 carry over by way of application to the New Testament church and the building that goes on here, individual by individual by individual. And by the way, this chapter serves as a perfect contextual background to our Sunday school lesson that we have been working on, the signs of life. How critical it is for willing-hearted people in possession of supernaturally imparted gifts to come together for the building up of the temple. Very, very much there's a correlation there. And so you have the women here, willing-hearted. And then we see again a mention in verse 23 of every man, Verse 24, the first two words, every one. Middle of the verse, every man. Then verse 25, we pick it up again. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands. Then the verse 26, and all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. So you have the men and the women, but you also have a wider demographic of participation, because verse number 27 involves the rulers. This was not a job, or this was not a task that was assigned to the blue collar types only. This was a task that everybody was to put their shoulder into, the rulers included. And that's important, because when you get to a book like Nehemiah, for example, there was a time there where there was a portion of the ruling class who didn't want to put their hands to the work. It was the building up of the wall there in the city was, that's beneath us. Not this job. This is something that everybody has a vested interest in, because now Jehovah is going to once again meet with his people. He's going to be the center of attention. And think about that. Now, when you make the transfer of the truth by way of application to the New Testament temple, it is basically the same thing, where God will be the focal point, or should be the focal point. That's not something that just happens in an individual's life. That's something that is built into a person's life, aided by everybody else in the congregation. Everybody in the congregation has a part in building up the temple. The little children have that song, building up the temple, building up the temple, building up the temple for my Lord, and so on and so forth. Everybody is involved, from the youngest to the oldest, from the wisest to the most not so much. Everybody is critical, according to what we read in 1 Corinthians 12. Every part essential to the building. And we go on here in this chapter. Verse 29 says, the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work. Then a couple of specific individuals are mentioned. In verse 30, Bezalel. And then there is another one up there, Aholiab, in verse 34. It is said of this man, that God filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to devise curious works, which is just a way of saying fine, delicate, unique, elaborate work. This man had it. Verse number 34, and he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach of the tribe of Dan. Them he hath filled with wisdom of heart. Now if you follow this down in the first part of chapter 36, we find more about him. There's a mention of every wise-hearted man in verse 1, Bezalel and Aholiab in verse 2 again. Again, a restatement. In whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even every one whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. Now, do you see the tremendous truth of the marriage between the sovereignty of God in imparting the wisdom and man's willing heart? God's sovereignty on the one hand, man's responsibility on the other hand. Both work simultaneously, and they work congruently. God is sovereign, but if he has to bring his laborers by force to the workplace to contribute their part, he can do that and the work will get done, but the blessing to the worker will be lost. It is imperative that there is this spirit of willing-hearted cooperation, a togetherness among the people of God, so that they can get this meeting place, the meeting place erected, so that the whole tribe of Israel can once again meet with their God as he determined that he wanted to do way back when he created man. And when Adam ruined all that and God departed from the presence of man and would no longer meet with them as he did with Adam, now the change comes. But he wants to meet in this tent with all of the symbolic messaging. Every piece of furniture has a symbolic message that leads basically back to God. And the access on the part of the fallen creature to a holy God by way of animal sacrifice. It's a tremendous thing, a tremendous act on the part of the Lord to do that. And I still am struck when I read it in the scriptures where, and I think it was one of the earlier chapters in the book of Exodus where God went to meet, or when Moses went to meet with God. And every one of the leaders of the tribe of Israel stood in the door of their tent and watched that. Everyone's eyes were focused on God's man for the hour. And once again, all of the tent doors will be, as they would come and make their encampment, all of the tent's doors would be faced into the tabernacle. So that on every occasion, not only could they see the smoke of the sacrifice rising morning and evening, but they also knew that right there in the center, in the Holy of Holies, was their God. Tremendous blessing and so much more in Exodus 36 than we have time to do. Do you have any questions or comments?